Good morning. There's a few young men and the young people all combined are going to be taking the meeting tonight, and that's a bit nerving. I've been there, you know. I think three of the young men are going to actually have a word this morning. You can pray for them, or this evening you can pray for them. That's a pretty nervous thing. My hands are sweaty, and I've been preaching for a number of years, and it's not something that you master. You need God's help, and so you can pray for those, for the young people as a whole this evening as they're taking that. Let's just ask for God's help this morning. Father, we come in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we owe him everything. We're thankful that he was willing and able to save us from our sins. And so, Father, as we would present the truth of the gospel this morning, that you would just empower me through your Spirit, and Father, that you would find a place in the hearts of those that know not thee, and that your Spirit would do a work. Even this morning, we pray these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to look at probably a very familiar passage, something that maybe many gospel preachers have started with, and we're going to look at Genesis and Adam, and you say, well, my sake, we've heard that oftentimes. But I want to bring some things to your attention this morning with the mindset that you would understand the importance of understanding the origin of man. I'm probably going to say some things that, if you're not saved here this morning, may make you feel quite uncomfortable. And if you're saved here this morning, there's great comfort in knowing your sins forgiven. Because of having your sins forgiven, the Bible's very clear that we are promised a place in heaven eternally. And so that's a very comforting thing to me. It certainly is. Because I can go back to my own experience, and for a long period of time, I was very troubled about where I would spend eternity. Let's just get into the passage. Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, Adam and Eve, the story of Adam and Eve. You know, I think the world has made very trivial Adam and Eve. You see even commercials that talk about, you know, that fruit, that forbidden fruit, and how that was taken, and they kind of trivialize the original sin of mankind, don't they? They talk like it was no small thing, or that was no big deal. But in reality, it is a big deal, because it plunged the human race into a separation from God and an eternity without God. So we're going to look at that story. We're going to look at Adam and Eve. We're going to look at how that sin originated, how it happened, what was the mindset of these two created beings, Adam and Eve, created out of Adam. What was their mindset? What were they provided with when planet Earth began? Let's look at just a few verses. So a very simple outline. As many of you know, I'm not a complicated person. Most people don't get saved by a lot of grand doctrines. I'm not a big expository preacher, and I appreciate someone taking the initiative, because sometimes we need to learn these things, how to dig into the Word of God. But this morning, it's going to be a very simple message. And by the Spirit of God, I hope it'll come home to you here this morning. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created. Let's stop there. In the beginning, God. In Genesis chapter 1, 31 times in 31 verses, it says, and God created, and God said. We're not here this morning to be to prove the existence of God. That's another topic that maybe some apologetic could do a better job in. This morning, we believe there is a God, and He created the heavens and the earth. He created Adam, and that is why you're here this morning, because of the creative power of God. In the beginning, God. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Once again, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven and the earth to give light upon the earth, and it was so. Genesis chapter 1, verse 17. And God said, set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. The creative power of God. And so we skip down to all, we know that in the first 6 days of creation, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the stars. He rested on the seventh day. The creative power of God. God is. God is. But when we go to chapter 3, we talk about mankind. And we also talk about Adam and Eve and how God had placed these created two beings, and He placed them in the garden. And God gave them so much. He gave them responsibility. There was no sin, remember. They were walking with God. They were in communion with their Creator. You've heard this before. You've heard it often. Adam and Eve were sinless. There was no sin on planet Earth. And God had given them lots of leeway, lots of responsibility, plenty of food. Have you ever, and I look over the audience, ever gone hungry? You know, we live in a world, I was reading as early as this morning about Syria. You know, I'm not up into current events and as much as I probably should be, but you know what? Great devastation around the world, isn't there? There's estimated that 250 women and children have died in the last few years in that country because of war. Adam and Eve had plenty to eat. They never went hungry. They were provided with a beautiful garden. It says of the many trees that bear fruit in that place. And so they had lots. God did not hold back on what He gave them. But we see this in chapter 3. We see the serpent come about, and he comes to Eve. And the first thing he does is he questions God. He questions Eve, did God say? And through a number of conversations and questions, he starts to convince Eve that, you know what? God's holding back from you. God's keeping back some things that you could use so that you would have more pleasure and you would have more leeway and that you would be happier. And eventually, Eve succumbs and she takes of that tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. The only thing that God commanded them not to do was to take of that fruit. And the serpent beguiles Eve and convinces her. And we're not going to blame the serpent totally because Eve had a will and she chose to take of that fruit. And we know the rest of the story. Sin entered the world. Disobedience. What was the mindset of Eve, I wonder? What was she thinking? With all the things that she was blessed with, what was her mindset? I don't believe God. I really don't think. I think he's holding back. I think he's not giving us everything that we really deserve. It was an attitude. Eve had a wrong attitude towards her Creator. You see, the problem in our day and age today, here in Prince Edward Island, those that aren't saved have the wrong attitude or perception of who God is. How important is it for us to understand here this morning the origin of man, that God created, God is, and he breathed into you, or into Adam, and it also gives us our very breath. God is. You see, in our day and age, we have people that are really biblically illiterate. There's no talk of God in the home. They don't even have any perception of God, a lot of people. Maybe you're here this morning and you have a wrong attitude. Maybe you think that to get saved would take away from what you think you deserve, what you want, your desires. I did. I could remember struggling with the idea. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed to be saved. And yet, you know what? I didn't want it because, you know what? I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Maybe that's you here this morning. Maybe you think God's withholding something good. And I want to tell you this morning, it was only until I understood that I was a sinner and I rested in the finished work of Calvary. It was only at that point that I understood I was missing out on everything. Everything that God was going to give me. Eternal life. Communion with my Creator. The one who gives me my breath. You see, the origin of man is very important to understand. It's very important to understand this morning that God created you. Not only did he create you, he created you with a purpose. God created man with a purpose. He has a purpose for your life. For the Christian, he has a purpose for you. For the unsaved, he has a purpose for you. I remember the first message I ever spoke. I don't know if it was the first message, but it was very early on. I had 17 pages of notes. And my goodness, I have three here and I'm already messed up. I don't even know where I am. But that's okay. I want to spend a few moments on, I want to spend most of my message this morning on the fall of man. And the reason that I want to do that this morning is because you will never be saved unless you understand the filthiness of your sin. You will never come into the knowledge or into the understanding that Christ is your Savior if you don't understand how sinful sin is. How far did man fall? Was it just a small, little, trivial thing? No. The fall of man separated us here in this building this morning, separated us from all that was good. It separated us from a eternity with God, and it banishes us into a devil's hell. Do you know what? Condemnation is upon every soul here this morning that does not know the Savior. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear that they're condemned. People don't want to hear that they will never see God. People do not want to hear of the warning. We sing it, souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. If you're here this morning and you don't understand the truth of the gospel, if you cannot go back to a time in your life when you understood fully that you were under the condemnation and judgment of God, then I want to tell you, you are not saved. And you need to be saved. Man fell as far as they could fall. They were separated. And yet, what was the first thing God did? Adam and Eve covered themselves. They understood right away. They had a knowledge of evil instantly, didn't they? Because they were ashamed. They were naked and they covered themselves. And what did God do? Right away, early in the history of man, he killed a couple animals and put skin over them so they would be covered, picturing bloodshed. And then and time goes on, and God, in the days of Noah, he said, you know, I regret that I even made man, but Noah found grace in the sight of man, in the sight of God. And we live in a day and age, although there's condemnation, there's still hope. Because you know what? The Lord has not returned. He is coming back for those of us that have trusted him as Savior. Man fell as far as they could have fallen. Not only did they fall as far as they could fall, they came under another domain, didn't they? My Bible tells me that those that are not saved are under the domain of the prince of the power of the air, Satan, which worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. What did Eve and Adam and Eve do? They simply did this. They disobeyed what God had said. All that God wanted for them was good. But they disobeyed. No God, no heaven. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. I'll get you to turn there. What we're talking about here this morning is going to be is really a logical end. And it was only when I understood the gospel, it was only when I trusted him and looking back upon my life that I understood. It makes sense. The gospel makes sense because it saved me. I was on the road to hell and now I'm on the road to heaven and I'm secure. It made sense. But you know what? Human logic and the way we think because of our depraved minds, we think differently, don't we? We think that we're going to miss out. We think that, you know what, this Christianity thing is just no fun. It restricts me. And that is so not the truth. A brother shared with me a little story. It's like this. It's really simply like this. You know, I get my license and I'm going down and I pay my taxes, and so I'm going to go down the road the wrong on the wrong side. I say, no, that's dangerous because you know what? There's oncoming vehicles, and that is not a wise choice. But you said, you know what? I'm my own man. I've got my license. I've shown it here, and I've got the ticket, and I can do as I please, and so I'm going to do that. That's not very logical, is it? But that's the way we think. God says, you know what? Although you've fallen, although you're against me, although you're separated from me, I've provided a way of escape. And you know what? Most people say, you know what? I'm good. I've got my religion, and I'm doing very well. I go to the soup kitchen, and you know what? There's lots of people in this world that would put us Christians to shame with their morality and with their good works, but they're not saved. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to be born from above. You need a new start. The start you were given is not going to get you to heaven because of Adam's fall, because of their disobedience in the Garden of Eden. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does it mean to hold truth? Excuse me. What does it mean to hold truth in unrighteousness? What is truth? What is truth? Is the gospel, what we're talking about this morning, the fact that Jesus Christ, God's perfect Son, came to planet Earth. It was a plan of God. The perfect sacrifice, and He bore judgment so that men and women who put their faith and trust in Him could have a relationship, a restored relationship to God. Is that the truth? If that is the truth, and you are not saved here this morning, you are holding the truth in unrighteousness. You know the truth, and yet you have not responded. And the verse tells me the wrath, the judgment of God is upon you who hold truth in unrighteousness, who do not respond to the open, free offer of salvation. The wrath of God is upon you. That's what this verse tells me. Not very nice to think about, is it? But the reality is there's a way of escape. That does not have to be the end of the story for you this morning. You can put your faith in the one who hung at Calvary, God's beloved, perfect, spotless Son. Willingly He did this for you. How is that possible? With all the billions in this earth, He loves you. He cares for you. He knows you. His purpose for you is that you would worship Him. And you continue to hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Twice in those verses, I didn't read the first one, it says, God gave them up. God gave them up. Finally, God gave them over. What's the difference there? Grace. Still grace. God gave them over. You know what? You're going to go your own way. I'm just going to give you over to it. I'm just going to let you do your thing for a while. You'll see the futility of your life. But eventually, through the course of time, in this verse, it says God gave them over. How many times have you heard in this place, and maybe not only in this place, but in other places, the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You've heard it time and time and time again, and yet you hold the truth. And God lets you go your own way. Hasn't given up on you. Still an opportunity. My Bible says God will not always strive with you, though. There will come a time, I don't know the time, there will come a time when God will just take you at your word. You do your own thing. You be your own boss. You be independent. You don't need me. My judgment and my wrath will come upon you, and I'll give you over, and you'll never have an opportunity ever again to trust the living Savior of the world. My Savior, I love Him. I'm telling you this morning, I love Him because He loves me. He cared for me even when I was against Him. I was His enemy, and yet He kept on working on me. Kept on working on me. I'm thankful I was never given over. How about you this morning, your Savior? Are you thankful for the one who loved me and gave Himself for me? He gave Himself for me. He gave Himself for you. And yet, you continue to hold truth in unrighteousness. God spare you this morning if you don't come in on the free offer. It's free this morning. Not because I said it, but because God said it. The gift of God is eternal life with Him through, you know, it's all about Him, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. From cover to cover, this book is pointing to the Savior of the world, the Savior of your soul, your only hope. Yes, there is judgment and condemnation for those that trust not Him in this life. But there's grace here this morning. You could be saved in your seat. Nothing to do with me. I don't know how to do all this. I'm repeating the words of God. I just know this. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He will keep that which I have committed unto Him against that horrible day. I'm saved eternally. You can be this morning too. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, this morning, we're thankful. Although we were enemies, there was a plan put into motion. The moment that Adam and Eve, I think before even that happened, there was a plan to save the descendants of Adam and Eve. That would be us here this morning. From our sins, because You loved us. You wanted a restored relationship. And we had to acknowledge that You are God. God is. He created us. And Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son to suffer judgment and anger and punishment for our sins so that we could be set free. Father, resting on that, everyone in this building can go out with eternal life. My only hope is found in Jesus' blood and righteousness. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Father, may it be the case of each one here this morning. We trust. We thank Thee for Him. And we pray and speak these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.